I think one of the hardest things about building Think in Classrooms is coming up with tasks for your kids to do, because before you know it, it's back to a session and you're like, oh my gosh, what task am I going to do? So I'm going to walk you through today kind of how I think of tasks if I'm wanting to spice it up a little bit. Do you need a fancy task? Of course not. The goal is that your students will engage in any task, but sometimes you just want a little spice, you know, you want to add something extra. So I'm going to walk you through how I think about tasks. Hello, and welcome to Making Number Sense Make Sense, a podcast for elementary teachers, specifically early elementary teachers, looking to really make an impact in the number sense of their students. I'm going to walk you through a second grade example, and this is for a curricular task, not necessarily a non-curricular task. My go-to for a non-curricular task is usually a puzzle type task or something like that that'll kind of keep them interested. And I find kids have a lot more stamina naturally with puzzles than some random word problem. So puzzles are definitely, number puzzles, math puzzles are my go-to for a non-curricular task, but I'm talking today specifically about curricular tasks. So the first thing I like to do is think about, all right, what are we even learning about right now? What is the connection? And it also depends on if it's at the beginning of a new unit, in the middle, or at the end. So for this example, I'm going to do a second grade task about adding two-digit numbers, up to four different two-digit numbers. So for right now, I'm thinking of the standard, which is the number operations in base 10 standard B6, which is add up to four two-digit numbers using strategies based on place value and properties of operations. So if I have my standard in mind, I think about what is a real life scenario or a scenario I could make up, like if I want it to be in a theme. So maybe it's a space theme or something else that they'll like, or real world scenario where they might have to do that. So a simple one for adding two digit numbers might be they are at a grocery store. So in this scenario, this task, our background is that we are working at a grocery store and our register is broken. So we're going to have to figure out how much all of our customers owe based on what they're purchasing. So from there, I would think of, I guess technically it's a money task, but we're doing second grade, we're dealing with whole numbers here. We're not really working with decimals at all. So I would think, okay, this is scenario. There's lots of different people who are coming through. There would be lots of different quote unquote customers. So the addition of new customers might be my thin slicing for this task. So from there, I would have to think about if I wanted to do a price list, like this is the list of all of the items, and customer A bought these items, customer B bought these items, and then it would be the kid's job to figure out how much money each customer owes as they go to check out. So let's say that you did a price list, just like a master price list for you to be able to check, and then the students would have each person's quote unquote order or purchase. So it might be customer A wants something that's worth this much, something that's worth this much, and something that's worth this much. So maybe we start with three two-digit numbers or two-digit numbers. And you can be thoughtful about the numbers that you're choosing to put on each receipt. So it might be starting with simple numbers that, you know, end in tens. And then as they get a new receipt or a new customer, then the numbers might start to get more tricky. And you can consider numbers that would highlight whatever strategy you want the kids to be working on. So maybe your strategy is decomposing, so you would have numbers that are easily decomposable. Maybe your strategy is going to the nearest 10. So you would make sure that all of your double digit numbers, all the numbers in the ones place that you're choosing might conveniently end up making a 10 so that they can get a nice whole friendly number. And then from there, as they get better at it, as they move through these quote unquote receipts, the numbers start to get trickier. You might have more numbers. You might have numbers that don't end perfectly in a 0 or a 5. So they can start to pull out different strategies for these addition tasks. This is something that you could do on your boards. It could easily translate into a center or a station. If you have a master price list and you might have a spinner with, I don't know, 8 customers on it. So you would have your students spin customer 1, customer 2, customer 3, however many there are, and then say that they spun three customers, they would get what those three customers bought, or the three items that this one customer bought, write down what their purchase was, and then they can add them together like that. So kind of moving that from the board to a center if you wanted them to keep practicing, if it is something that they liked. So that's just kind of an example. I think through what is it that we're trying to learn here? What stage are they in the development of this skill? And how can I make it the most accessible I can while still keeping it close to or at the grade level content? Like, what is our low floor? What is our entry point that kids would be able to do? And then from there, enable them to feel confident in the strategies that they're using, that they can keep going, that they'll want to keep going. And then from there, it leads to really rich discussions about what students were doing, what was working, what wasn't working for them. And then hopefully, right, the goal is that they'll take those strategies and apply them to the next situation that might not be so fancy. Maybe the next time you do a task like that, it's not a scenario. It's not, you know, being a cashier at the grocery store. Maybe you just give them bare numbers, and then it's like these three bare numbers, these three bare numbers, but they'll have the experience of putting it in context, so they won't need context for the next time you do problems like that. If you have a formula that works, you can make it work for any strategy. You can make it work for any theme. So if Halloween rolls around, this is completely out of date right now because when I'm recording this, it's May, but if you wanted to, you could be like, okay, how can I do the same thing, but Halloween theme? How can I do the same thing, but Thanksgiving theme? How can I do the same thing, but my kids are really into space right now, so I want to make this whole scenario a space scenario. So just piquing their interest, giving them a little something different so that when you don't have a quote-unquote fancier task, it's not that fancy, but a fancier task, they'll still be able to engage just as well as they did for the other task. Tasks, like I said, don't have to be fantastical. So the example I gave was a grocery store. Another one that I've done in the past was a Halloween theme, which is why it came to my head, a Halloween theme, where we had all of these spiders in a haunted house that escaped. And if these spiders escaped, how many legs escaped the haunted house? And the inspiration for that came from a free task that you can find in the show notes. It's called Escaping Ants. We were learning about ants. The county delivered ants to us, so we had this ant farm. We were learning all about the ants. I did not let the students touch the ant farm in these certain little place. They had these little tubes that went from one part of the ant farm to another. They did not let them touch it because those things popped out easy, and we're not trying to have ants all over the classroom. But one of the specials that we had was in the classroom. So to get my own stuff done, I left the classroom for that hour. So it was my assistant and the actual teacher were in my classroom giving this lesson. And then I come back later, didn't think anything of it, and I'm teaching. And then I see one of these ants from the ant farm just crawling around the classroom. And I was like, how did this ant get out? And I know it was one of those ants because it was huge. So the normal ants you'd see are the teeny tiny black ones where I live. And these were these giant ants that bite. Their mandibles are sharp. I was like, how did that ant get there? And I was like, maybe it's just a fluke. Maybe that didn't actually happen. Then I see another one. So I go to check the ant farm. And one of my students had sneaked over to where the ant farm is when I wasn't in the room and touched the little tube part, and the ants were escaping. And I am not a bug person anyway. So I was like, oh my gosh, there's ants all over my classroom. I was like, whew, oh no, what am I going to do about this? But that ended up being the inspiration for the escaping ants task. Because like, if this many ants escaped, how many legs escaped the classroom? And that was a fun task for my kids to do because we were learning about ants. So they're like, oh, ha, 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 the ants escaped. Little did they know, the ants actually escaped my classroom. Even though my kids were five in kindergarten, they came up with some amazing strategies. So some of my students were just drawing the ants with the little legs on and counting all of the ants. Then some students kind of didn't need to draw it. They knew that there were six. So they would either represent groups of six on their whiteboard, or they got groups of six manipulatives that they were using to show how many and counted them all. Some students, keep in mind, they're in kindergarten, figured out on their own how to draw an array. So they had little dots in an array representing it, and skip counted it that way. And I was looking at them and I was like, you guys are so smart. Are you kidding me? Because organizing things in arrays is a second grade skill. These kids are in kindergarten. And for my thin slicing, I was like, you guys have a strategy that works. What if 6 ants escaped? What if 8 ants escaped? What if 12 ants escaped? And they were able to use that repeated addition strategy for larger and larger numbers. So it's really interesting to see, like, if a problem makes sense, they can think about it logically and figure out a solution to that problem. So those are things I would have you keep in mind. Like, maybe it's a fun scenario that they'll enjoy that's really fantastical, but still is rooted in reality. Like, what is actually happening here that they can figure out, tease out, and they'll be able to come up with their own solutions to solve these problems. If you have any other questions, please feel free to let me know. And I'll have this whole task written out so that you can see it in the blog post link down below. And until then, I will catch you next time.